This is Rick Renner, and I'm still in Tulsa in our little studio, which was put together by our grandson, William Renner. I'm so proud of him. In fact, when he did this studio, I was in Moscow, and he called me online. He said, "Grandpa, let me show you my new studio." He was so proud of it. But today I'm here with Denise Renner and Joel Renner. Hey, guys. Welcome to Home Group.
Hey, Rick. And Home Group, welcome. We're excited to be with you again to talk about the amazing things about God.
Isn't it good to be with Joel?
Oh, my gosh.
It is good to be with you all. And dear Home Group, I have to say it's an honor to study the Bible with you and with my parents.
You know, we really like each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But, you know, the Bible says that where two or three of you are gathered together, Jesus is in the midst. Well, there's three of us here. You're with us. Jesus never said you had to be in the same room. That is amazing. Mm-hmm. So we're all together. So Jesus is here. Jesus is there. And Lord, we honor your presence today, mm-hmm. and we ask you to be with us in Home Group. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
All right, let's open our Bibles. I see you've already got your Bibles open. Reach for your Bible. And I want you to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. You know, I almost recently did an entire message on who wrote the book of Hebrews. It was really going to be fun. One of these days I'm going to do that. You would think that that would be kind of boring, but if you look at all the possibilities of who wrote the book of Hebrews, and you look at all those people and their different characters and how they express things differently, and some people say this person wrote it, and some people say that person wrote it, and others say, well, maybe this one. You know, what's fun is if you consider all those personalities, they all have different flavor, and they all wrote scripture.
You mean to tell me we don't know who wrote?
We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews.
Wow.
I'll tell you who I think wrote the book of Hebrews.
Okay.
I think it was written by the Apostle Paul with the help of Apollos.
And who is Apollos?
Apollos was a brain from Alexandria. And the reason I think that is because if you read much of Hebrews, it carries little pieces of Paul in it. But the Greek in the book of Hebrews is much higher than Paul's.
Hmm.
And that would qualify Apollos.
Who was a brain.
And they were very good friends. And Apollos was Alexandrian. It means his Greek would have been the best of all the New Testament writers.
Hmm.
And I think they wrote it together. That's what I think.
Wow.
But the truth is, nobody really knows.
Right.
We know it's from God. But you got your Bible? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to begin with a verse that I've talked about before, but it has really meant a lot to me over the years. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And in this verse, you find out that peace doesn't always come to you. You know, we always want peace to come to us, but sometimes you have to follow peace mm-hmm. in order to get it. And the verse says, follow peace with all men. That word all means to the best of your ability, with everybody. And the word peace, the word erene, describes the cessation of war. It's a Greek word which means put your weapons away. It's time to begin the process of rebuilding and reconstruction, which means peace is the absence of conflict. And sometimes you got to figure out not how to not have conflict. You may have to choose, okay, we're not going to talk about that subject, because that always results in conflict. You just close the door. It doesn't mean that you're ignoring something. You're just choosing to have the absence of conflict. You may have to decide what promotes peace. But the verse says follow. And that word follow is the word dioko. And what does it mean, Denise?
To hunt.
To hunt.
It's a hunting term.
It's a hunting term, which means if you want peace, you got to go on a hunting expedition. There's some times when you really have to work hard to have peace with somebody. And the form of the Greek language there is hunt, 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 follow, 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 follow. It's the picture of a hunter who he's put on his camouflage clothes and he's got his hunting gear and he's following the tracks of that animal and he's not going to stop until he finally gets his game.
Well, you know what, Rick? I'm thinking about that hunting dog. The hunting dog that's sniffing, sniffing, sniffing. Any clue to find that animal, he is after it. And that we can take on that kind of character, that we would be the ones who said, If anybody's going to find peace in this relationship, it's going to be me. I'm going after it. Just like that dog that's trying to sniff out that trail and find the game. I think that's amazing.
Well, I don't know if you guys have ever been hunting. I don't think so. But I've been hunting before with my uncle.
Okay.
And we did not always catch something. But we went and we sat and we waited and we patiently were quiet. I mean, if you want to have a nice conversation with somebody when you're hunting, just forget it. Unless you can like read signs or read their eyes or something. But we sat there for hours. And we sat there and sat there and sat there and waited. And sometimes to have peace, you need time.
That's very good, Joel.
Yeah.
And we didn't catch something every time, but we kept on trying.
Well, and actually, you don't always catch peace with all men. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men, which means it's not always possible. One man has translated it, as long as it's doable. Sometimes it's not doable. And in those cases, that's when you have to say, you know what? We're just not going to talk right now. I love a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and Denise, we've quoted it many times. If we've been in a situation with somebody that's difficult, or things are just tense, or it seems like we're just not on the same page, even though we're trying, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says there's a time to talk, and there really is a time to be quiet. Sometimes it's just time to back off. It also says there's a time to embrace, and there's a time to refrain from embracing. And sometimes relationships need space. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
They just need space. And that doesn't mean that you're ignoring something. You're giving space for God to work. You're giving space for emotions to calm down. There's a time to embrace, and there's a time to refrain from embracing, a time to speak, a time not to speak. And part of the key in getting peace in relationship is knowing when you're supposed to talk, when you're supposed to be quiet, when you're supposed to embrace, and when you're supposed to not embrace. And there's another wonderful scripture. Listen to this one. David said in the book of Psalms, when he was in a very difficult situation and people were saying really ugly things, David said, I was like a deaf man that didn't hear. And I was like a mute that didn't speak. I was like a blind man that didn't see. And here you have the power of ignoring things. There are some things you just need to ignore. And one of the keys to having peace in relationship is learning just to ignore a few things. And Denise, I've said to you many times, quoting David, you know what? I just choose to believe that I did not hear that. I'm just ignoring what I heard. I'm going to ignore what I just saw. I'm going to be like a mute. I'm not going to respond to that. Just ignore it and let it go. And one of the keys to relationships being good is the ability to ignore a few things.
What do we say? Let it go.
Let it go.
Just let it go.
Just let it go. And, and really, that's a blessing, isn't it, Denise?
It is a blessing, and it's a decision. And you might have to let it go. You know, Jesus said 490 times in Matthew chapter 18 when he was talking about forgiveness. And Peter said, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And Jesus said, nope, seven times 70. 490 times. Is that not amazing? But that's the standard that Jesus gives us. That if it takes you hunting for peace, you pursuing peace 490 times to forgive that person.
To let it go.
Then let it go.
The word forgive, the Greek word aphiemi, literally means let it go. Let it go.
I was flipping through the book of Proverbs just now because I was reading a scripture the other day, and it says, I'm going to paraphrase it. It says, remove the mocker and strife will depart from you.
That's right.
And sometimes to keep peace, you have to remove some people out of your life.
That's true. That's refraining from embracing. Sometimes you just need to just back away and say, this is not healthy. We need space between me and that person. The Bible also tells us to be careful of serpents. Mm-hmm. Because if you know there's a snake, snakes strike. Snakes bite. Well, if you know that somebody regularly strikes and bites, then quit hanging out with that person. And it doesn't mean you don't love them. You're just not going to put yourself in a position where you're going to be bit again.
Another
wait
example,
for them to change. Wait for your heart to change. Then get back together.
Another example is if you know someone is a gossip.
Yeah.
But you love that person. You just enjoy their fellowship, but you don't want to gossip.
Right.
I mean, you just need to know, you need to learn people and where you want to go with them or not. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It's just that's their tendencies.
That's right.
And you have to learn people.
Denise?
Well, I'm just thinking about pursuing peace, that you have to consider things. You have to look at the situation. You have to consider it. What am I supposed to do according to God's word, according to His instruction? Because that is where you are going to find peace. Because the Bible says that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet. And I was thinking about this because Rick always goes to bed before I do. And so I'm always using my phone and turning my phone on, not the flashlight, but just the phone, so that I can just see a little bit of light in the darkness.
In the bedroom?
Yeah, to get where I'm going. See, you're asleep. I'm trying to be polite.
Okay, wait a minute.
Hold on a minute.
Oh.
And so.
Well, I'm going to pursue peace.
Wait, okay, thank you. And so. What I want to say is I've got that just that little tiny bit of light, and it's giving me light to my path. And I think about that because the Word of God is light, and it brings light to darkness. Okay, what were you going to say?
I think that's excellent. I was just going to tell our home group what time I go to bed. It was real important.
Oh, do you want to tell everybody what time
sure.
you go to bed?
I go to bed at 7 p.m. because I get up really early to prepare things for me to teach on the TV program. And I say to Denise every night when I go to bed, Denise, please come to bed. And what do you say?
I say I can't come to bed at 7 o'clock. But there have been a few times, there have been a few times that I did come to bed and just wait till he falls asleep and then I get up, just a few times.
But I want to say something about that little light that you're following.
Yeah.
Because sometimes if we've been in a situation where that is not really enjoyable with somebody, Denise will try to instruct me how to have peace with that person. Sometimes that's helpful. Sometimes it's not. You know, you have to know yourself. Mm-hmm. And I know me. And I know what's going to help me be in peace. And I know what's not going to help me be in peace. And if Denise is giving me an encouragement, I listen to it. But if I know it's not going to work for me, I don't do it. I have to follow my heart. Just like Denise saying that she follows the little light on that telephone. What works for one doesn't always work for the other. And it's very important that you pray, that you really seek the Lord, that if you have a conflict in a relationship, just charging and barging in to fix it, it's not always the answer. That is not always the answer. Sometimes that makes it worse. And it's very important that you put things on pause. Which, by the way, sometimes just putting things on pause brings peace itself. Mm-hmm. Calm down, be still, let the Lord speak to your heart, and you'll get instruction about how to pursue peace with that person. And sometimes the Lord will tell you to be quiet, just to do nothing, just to back off. Sometimes the Lord will tell you to go to them, to ask if there's something wrong. You know, it's you just don't know, but the Holy Spirit, amazingly, has the key to every situation.
Right.
Yeah, he does.
He does.
But I think our attitude is really important. Of, I want to have an attitude towards doing everything that I can, like the scripture says, to pursue peace. Mm-hmm. Not just to, oh, well, I think that this is right, but my attitude, I want to do everything that I can to pursue peace.
Well, you know, when nations are at war, one of the major things to pursuing peace is just pulling back your weapons. You may not sit down and talk, but if you just pull, you just move out of an assault mode. Just pull back. And that's a contributor to peace, Joel.
It is. But I think this scripture is very impressive because it says, pursue peace.
Pursue.
That's an instruction to us. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say people should pursue peace with you. It says, no, you're supposed to pursue peace.
You pursue peace.
And I think that gives a lot of responsibility to us. You know, we're supposed to do something with that. And that's what this is all about, how to take action. And I wanted to say something else, Mama. You talked about forgiveness. Sometimes you can forgive someone. And, you know, sometimes people will be like, I forgive you. And then tomorrow, I forgive you again. And then a month later, I forgive you from that thing you did a month ago. And they keep on forgiving and forgiving and like again and again. I don't think that's necessary. You don't have to hold something against someone and keep on forgiving them. You can forgive them in your own heart. Sometimes that's the truth. You have to forgive people over and over again in your own heart sometimes because you're still getting over it. And but that doesn't mean you have to go to that person and forgive them every time you feel like you need to. Once is enough.
And forgiveness does not mean that you have amnesia. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you forget. You know, sometimes people say, well, God has thrown your sin into the sea of forgetfulness. Well, he certainly has, but he is God. God does not have amnesia. But God has just chosen to let it go when we've been forgiven. God has chosen. He'll never retrieve those things and bring them up to us again. And that's the way we're supposed to deal with each other. You may remember what they did, but you've just made a decision. We're never going to go there again.
Yeah.
That's already been dealt with. And what's amazing is the further that you get away from an episode or an event, you do gradually kind of forget that it happened. You just forget.
And I think the forgiving process, if you have to forgive them in your own heart again and again, it gets easier as time goes by.
Well, you know, I was looking at this verse. It goes on to say, without which no man shall see the Lord. This doesn't mean you won't go to heaven, but shall see the Lord is a Greek word which means to be admitted into the immediate presence of God, which means strife, problems with people. It's a blocker, and it really is, isn't it, Denise?
Mm-hmm.
The presence of the Lord is there, but you can't experience it
mm-hmm.
because your heart is just filled with so much strife. You can't really experience the Lord. You can be in a room filled with people that are experiencing a visitation
right.
and you not feel one stinking thing. And it's because of what's going on in your head and in your heart. It's a blocker. And so it's really not just for others' benefit, it's for our own benefit that we have peace with all men. Denise?
Here's a great way to pursue peace. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted. And that's great instruction, isn't it? Keep your heart tender, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So the standard is very high that we're to forgive as we've been forgiven.
Okay, can I help you with that verse? Where it says, forgiving one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, is the Greek word kerosos. And a literal translation is gracing one another as God for Christ's sake has graced you. Well, think how many times God has just graced us and overlooked something in our life. And aren't we grateful for that?
Totally.
And after God has just graced us and forgiven us, what right do we have to be a Pharisee with somebody else?
Right.
We just need to ignore it, let it go, forgive it. Do whatever the Holy Spirit tells us to do and grace that person. Just like we want to be graced.
Yeah.
We all want to be graced.
We all want mercy.
We all want mercy.
And yeah, one phrase that you've used over the years that really helped me, it's really practical, is you say if that person really knew what they were doing.
They wouldn't do it.
They wouldn't do it.
They wouldn't do it.
If they knew how much that really hurt me, they wouldn't be doing it.
You know what that does? That makes you kind of like Teflon. It doesn't stick to you. And that has, Denise, it's really helped me over the years, hasn't it? I have always said, they don't know what they're doing. They're not acting right. That they love Jesus. They have loved me in the past. They don't mean what they're doing. They just don't mean it. They're not thinking right.
It protects you. It protects your mind.
It does. Uh-huh. And it makes you feel mercy for the other person.
Right.
Well, I mean, for me, when I think about what I've been forgiven, and I really think about it and receive his mercy, I feel like those Pharisees and religious leaders who had stones in their hands ready to judge and condemn that woman caught in adultery. It's so visual to me. And then when Jesus spoke to them, I always visualize those angry, judgmental, religious people that the stones just dropped out of their hands. And for me, when I really look at what Jesus did for me, I think, who am I to hold anything against anybody? Like you said, Rick, I've been graced. Mm-hmm. I've been graced. And Jesus said, if you don't forgive, that's a very, very strong scripture. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. That is a very powerful scripture. But what Jesus gave us on the cross is the greatest thing. It's forgiveness. And forgiveness with one another is a very big thing with God, because that is what gave us the entrance into His grace and into eternal life with Him. So us forgiving others is a command of Scripture.
You know, that scripture that you just read about the woman caught in the act of adultery, well, what does that mean? They caught her having sex with somebody. They caught her in the act of adultery. Well, where was the guy? Why were they only going to stone the woman? Where was the guy? And some people believe Jesus was writing the name of the guy.
Really?
In the dirt. And that's why the guys just turned and walked away.
What I like about that scripture the most is who turned away first. It was the elderly men. When Jesus said, if you're sinless, throw a stone.
Mm-hmm.
And no one could do it. And the first people who turned away were the elderly men. And I just think about that lady. I mean, imagine the compassion she felt from Jesus, the protection she experienced.
Oh, my.
I mean, it almost brings tears to know that Jesus loves us that much. He's the one who could have really thrown stones.
Really, and you know what? Another thing I love, love, love about that is he said, woman, where are your accusers? Mm-hmm. And she looked around.
And they were all gone.
And they're all gone. And the only one that was standing there
was Jesus.
Was Jesus.
And he told her to go in peace.
The one who wasn't accusing her. Oh, so powerful.
Well, you know what? Let's just be sure that as we're pursuing peace with people, that we be among those who drop the stones.
Right.
Because as long as you're throwing stones, you're not engendering peace. But guys, we're out of time.
But I can just hear people saying, well, what about justice? You know, what about righteousness? Or, you know, who's supposed to take care of those people who are over and over again, sowing you shall reap? I know we have to go.
Well, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord.
That's what I was going
to
say.
The Lord, you just have to leave that in the hands of the Lord. And by the way, mercy is you not getting what you deserve. Sometimes just God gives you mercy.
So
praise
good.
The name of you need some mercy. Amen. We all need mercy, but we are out of time. But thank you for being with us, and let us know how to pray for you. Just remember, the renters love you. Bye bye.
If you enjoyed this teaching, please subscribe, like, and comment so more people can see it.